Please prepare your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God.
Good morning. Hold up your Bibles and we'll jump right in. If you're new to New Beginnings, we're glad you're here. We hold up Bibles every week because everything that I'm going to tell you is coming from one place. That is the Word of God. Amen? I have nothing to say or add to it. I'm just simply going to tell you what it says. And everything we're going to do is going to come from the Word of God. This is the proclamation we make every week. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Last week, I started a message series called The Traits of a Disciple. The message I'm going to preach to you today was intended for last Sunday until the previous Tuesday night when I laid down in bed preparing to go to sleep. And the Lord said, here's the word for this week. And the Lord began to download to me the marks of a disciple that I gave you last week, the five marks. I'll talk about those in a minute. Everything that we do at New Beginnings comes through and is filtered through our vision. It's the vision that God gave me some, I don't know, 13 years ago or so, when the Lord said, here's what I want you to do and be as a church. The vision is to reach the North Shore community with the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, to teach those we reach to become, we call them here, true disciples. Some people call them fully functional followers of Christ. You can call them whatever you want to call them. We call them true disciples, and so that's how we're going to refer to them from this point forward. We get those true disciples ultimately reproduce themselves. We say it like this, reach and teach. We don't just want them to know, but to grow. And so we don't just want you to know Jesus, we want you to grow with Jesus. Why? Because it is God's intention for every one of us to grow in our faith. God never intended for people to get saved, sit in a chair on Sundays, soak up what you can get in an hour, go home, and that be your discipleship for the week. God wants us and desires for us to grow and to be more like his son each and every day. Amen? Amen. Some questions arise as we think about the vision of New Beginnings. What is the North Shore community, Pastor Eddie? Well, the North Shore community obviously is the location where we are. It's the vicinity. It's the parish. It's the municipalities that surround our church. But remember, as a church, it can't stop there, right? We must reach beyond just the local municipalities. We must reach out regionally, nationally, and internationally. But how do we do that since we're just this little church right here in Covington? Well, we support missionaries and churches and pastors all over the world who are doing the same things we're doing, reaching and teaching. How do we do that? Well, last week you met, if you were here, the Comers, Ben and Shelley, who are planting a church in Baton Rouge. And we're excited about the work that they're going to be doing in Baton Rouge and reaching and teaching people for Jesus. Remember I told you, every time a new church starts in an area, approximately 60% of the people that will attend that church will either be, we call them, unchurched or de-churched people. There'll be people who have been hurt by church, quit going to church for whatever reason at some point in their lives, and they say, well, we'll give it another shot because there's a new church down the street. And so they'll show up there, and the Comers, I believe, are going to do a great job at reaching them and teaching them for Christ. Okay, so how do we go beyond our region, Pastor Eddie? Well, it was so funny this week in me planning to talk to you about this today. I got a postcard from a young couple that we support in Morocco. Morocco's a little city in northern Africa, right near the Mediterranean Sea, just across the Strait. What is it called right there? You know, huh? Gibraltar. Yeah, the Strait of Gibraltar, right across from what, Belgium or whatever that is, Spain. Yes, that's or Spain. Either one of those. I'm not a geography major. I'm a pastor. Come on, this is what they said. Don't make fun. It's not nice. Hi, Pastor Swan and church family. That's you. Thank you for supporting the work in Morocco among the international and national churches. The local church is growing, but there are still millions who need to hear of Jesus' love for them. Because of your generosity, we get to proclaim the name of Jesus among the people who desperately need to hear his name. Thank you for your prayers support, and trust in God's calling on our lives, Shane and Mandy Phelps. And so, great young couple. Peggy and I got to sit with them and have some coffee about a year ago here when they were in the country. And just a great young couple doing God's work in Morocco. I think about a little lady by the name of Michelle who's in northern China in a country where it is illegal to be a Christian, and we support Michelle. We support people all throughout the country of Africa, in Eastern Europe, in Western Europe, in South America, in Canada, and all over the world. We're supporting people who are doing the same things we're doing. So how does this little church do it? By your generosity and our generosity to see that the Word of God goes locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, our vision, the mandate that God gave us is based on the Great Commission. The Great Commission found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age." Now, I love the Great Commission, but I want you to understand the Great Commission is no good without first this thing called the Great Commandment. When Jesus was asked by some religious people, what was the greatest commandment? They were being cute. They were trying to trip him up. And he said, the greatest commandment is this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second one is like it: to love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to understand, you're never going to do the Great Commission until you've first done the Great Commandment. You're never going to go and make a disciple until you first fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with what he loves. People, right? And so you're never going to do those things until you first fall in love with him, which is why we do what we do. I gave you the five marks of a disciple last week. Here they are. The mark of a disciple, the thing that marks a disciple of Christ, is he or she accepts the will of God, walks in the promises of God, experiences the goodness of God, displays the power of God, and tells others about God. Those are the marks of the disciple. But I want you to understand, there are some things that mark us, but there are some things that make us. A disciple is not a disciple without the makings of a disciple. You don't just get saved, plop yourself down in a chair, sit here once a week on a Sunday, and receive all that you need to do to be the fully functional follower of Christ, or as we call them, the true disciple, if you don't do some things. I want you to know, in every relationship that you're involved in, your marriages, your friendships, there's going to require some work. Now, let me stop you right there for a minute. Now Pastor Eddie's saying, we have to work at our relationship with Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. So don't go leaving here saying, Pastor Eddie said you have to work to be saved. No, you don't. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, so that no one can boast. We don't have to work to be saved, but I want you to understand, if we're going to be the disciple that God's called us to be, then we're going to have to work at it. Yes. There's a story of an elderly couple. They've been married 60 years. Anybody in here been married 40, 50, 60 years? Anybody? A few of y'all. All right. Amen. Good. How about 30? 30 years? I've been married 35, yeah. 60 years this couple have been married, and the wife comes to the husband one day. She says, "I'm asking you for a divorce." He says, "What? Married 60 years. We haven't fought in 60 years. We never argue about anything. Everything's wonderful. What's the problem?" She says, "Well, you haven't told me you love me in 60 years. He said, "Honey, if you remember correctly, when we got married 60 years ago, I told you I loved you. And if I ever change my mind, I'd let you know." I want you to understand, that does not make for a great marriage. That does not make for a great relationship. You got to work at it, right? That was funny, right? I was doing some marriage counseling years ago. A gentleman come to me. My wife and I having some problems, and so we kind of started digging into their relationship a little bit. I said, "Well, tell me about, when's the last time you told your wife?" I felt the prompting of God said, "Tell me this. When's the last time you told your wife you loved her? And the dude had to think about it. He's like, I was like, all right, time out. We got a problem, right? You see, if you can't even remember the last time you told her you loved her, it's been too long. 8 traits that make a disciple. The things that you and I should be doing. How about we just put it like this? Regularly. The things that we should be doing regularly in order for us to really be these fully functional followers, these true disciples. The first one is this, that our in as a believer, as a follower of Christ, we should be missional. We should be missional. As the Great Commission says, I'm to make disciples. Listen, I want you to know the Great Commission is not just for churches. It's not just for pastors. It's for the people of God, for every one of us. Anybody in here ever read the Bible? Pieces of the Bible. All of us have read pieces of the Bible, and I promise you that's one of the pieces. If you haven't read it, you have heard it at least a couple of times if you've come to church for any length of time. And I promise you, that ain't just for us. That's for all of us. And we all need to be involved in the ministry called reaching and teaching. That's what God said. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's the reaching. And teach them everything I've commanded you to teach them. Everything I've given you, you need to teach them. Listen to me. If you're a follower of Christ, if you've been a believer for more than one day, there's somebody else around you that knows less than you. You heard what those people in Morocco said. The church is growing here, but there are still millions of people around us, millions of people around us who need to hear about the love of Jesus. Listen to me. We live in a small community. There aren't millions here, but there are thousands here that need to hear about the love of Jesus, and they need to hear it from you. We have to be missional in our following of God. True disciples are missional. The second thing that true disciples are is they're biblical. Now, every one of us has a worldview of some sort. You've all developed a worldview of some sort. You've developed it either from your political party. You developed it from the news channel you watch. You have some ideas about the happenings that are going on in the world right now. And you all have those ideas. But here's my question. As a believer, as a follower of Jesus, do the things that you believe, are they filtered through the inerrant, infallible Word of God? Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Listen, everything we do as believers, as followers of Jesus, should be filtered through the word of God. Our beliefs, our values, everything that we stand on should come through and be filtered by the Word of God and nothing else. We don't care what news channel says. We don't care what my political party says. All I care about is what does Jesus say. Amen? Allison Lucia, who was in our first service, several weeks ago I preached the message, and at some point of the message I said something about the old bracelets, the What Would Jesus Do bracelets. So she went online and found me What Would Jesus Do bracelets and bought them for me. And so I have one on here, WWJD. I wear that as a reminder every day of everything that I do. What would Jesus do? I don't care what he says or what she says or what they say. All I care about is what does he say? And everything that we do has to be filtered through the Word of God. How we interpret reality and what we believe to be true must be filtered through God's Word. Amen? The third thing that true disciples do that make them a true disciple is they are spiritually disciplined. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, look what it says, train yourself to be godly. For physical training, in verse 8, is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise both for the present life and the life to come. There are 4 spiritual disciplines that I believe we should be practicing, here's the word, regularly. So I don't want to say daily, because I think they should be daily, weekly, monthly, but we should all be practicing these things regularly. Prayer. It's not something you do when life hits the proverbial fan. It's not something you do when things are going terrible. It's something you should be doing every moment of every day for one reason, because you want to connect with the Father. Amen? Fasting. Like, ooh, I don't really want to do that. I like to eat, Pastor Eddie. Pastor Eddie likes to eat more than all y'all, I can promise you. But we all should be fasting at some point. There are times when God calls us and wants to bring us to a higher place, wants to bring us to another level. And sometimes we have to rid our lives of distractions. That's why every year we start the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. You know why? Not because it's a good way to kick off weight loss for the year. Hey, I'll do it as a good kickoff for a diet. No. The only thing we're concerned about is connecting with God. God, I want to know your plans and your purpose for my life and the life of this church and his people from this point forward for the next year or for this new year. And that's all I'm concerned about. If I happen to lose weight, which I always do, because you don't eat for 21 days, you're going to be hungry. Fasting. Here's another one, spiritual discipline that we should be doing is tithing. Now, Pastor, I don't really believe in tithing. That tithing is an Old Testament. That's Old Testament. You want a New Testament blessing? Because people come to us all the time. We are hurting financially. Do you tithe? I don't believe in that. And God don't believe in blessing you. You know, I love that we want the blessings of God, but we don't want to use the key of God to unlock the door. He said, here's the key, just tithe. I love the fact that he only asked me for 10%. It's, by the way, remember this, all the money in your account all belongs to him. And the moment you come to that agreement and that realization is when things get real in your life. And then when he says, hey, just give me 10% so we can go and reach the world with the good news, you go gladly, cheerfully, right? That's what the Bible says, cheerful giver. I'm a cheerful. We need to tithe and do it cheerfully. And then there's serving. So, Peggy, we have a series of Get Connected classes we do here. It's our growth track. And there's one today after church, right after this service, called Get Started. It's the class, we call it partnership. We don't call it membership here. We call it partnership. We want you to partner with us in reaching this world for Jesus one soul at a time. And so you can, if you want to attend that, you can stick around after church today and come. The point of all this is through that we do Get Started, Get Equipped, Get Empowered. And the last class is called Get to Work. And my wife just completely reworked Get to Work. Used to be Get to Work was all about how you can serve God here at New Beginnings. And that's still part of Get to Work, but now we also tell you about another 20 or 30 places that you can serve God in this community. And so, because serving God doesn't just happen in these four walls. Serving God happens out there. Remember, the mission field doesn't begin till you walk out the door. This is not the mission field. You don't reach people for Jesus right here. That's what I do. You go out there and you go reach people for Jesus. Amen? Serve. Train yourself to be godly. Listen, what happens is a lot of times when we begin to serve God, those things don't feel real good. They don't feel natural and normal. You start tithing, it doesn't feel natural and normal for you to give your money away. I never forget the first time we tithed. I was like, wrote the check. That's weird. I'm going to give money to this church. I don't know nothing about these people. I had to get to the place where I realized I wasn't giving money to those people. I was giving money to my God. What they do with it is between them and God. I'm doing what God asked me to do. And when I did that, I released upon our lives the blessings of God, right? It doesn't feel normal and natural because it goes against all the things we're taught as we're growing up in this world. But what starts to happen, the more I practice them, the more I train myself to be godly, the more natural they become. The more you pray, the more natural it becomes. The more you serve, the more natural. The first time you ever serve as an usher or a greeter, you're standing there like it's awkward. Welcome to New Beginning. What do I say? Shake, hug, I don't know what to do. Hey, glad you're here. I'm not really sure either. It'll become natural because you were created for it. Number four, the makings of a true disciple are they're good stewards. They're good stewards. A steward is just a manager. It's a biblical word. And it's used throughout the New Testament. It's really used throughout the Bible that we're to be good stewards, good managers of the life that God's given us. There are really four areas of life that God calls us to manage and to manage well. The first one is our time. Anybody militant timekeepers in here? Anybody like, you keep a calendar? You're like, always, anybody on time? 15 minutes early is on time.
Yes.
You get me, right? I've been telling my kids that since they were a little bitty. 15 minutes early, right, Rich? 15 minutes early is on time. You show up on time, you late. Y'all all ought to get that because y'all all late for church. I mean, just saying. The Bible says about our time, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Time is that commodity that we all have the same exact amount of, and none of us can do anything to have more of it, but you can certainly waste the little bit you got. So here's the question. What would Jesus do, right? I thought about that as I prepared this message this week, and I thought about my time. When I'm wasting it, I would think, what would Jesus be doing right now? Would he be wasting it too? Probably not. He'd be telling somebody else the good news. He'd be showing himself to somebody else. He'd be praying for somebody. He'd be doing, am I wasting it or am I bringing glory to God by my actions? We all waste a lot of time. Y'all got one of them smartphones, make you dumb. You see, I went in a doctor's office yesterday to get a COVID test. And by the way, I'm negative. And I left my phone in the car on purpose. And I'm sitting there and I'm just looking around. There's about 20, 30 people in the waiting room, and they're all. And I'm like, man, isn't this a terrible society we live in? Nobody looking at nobody. All wrapped up in that phone. Anyway, we're wasting time. The second area that God calls us to steward or manage well is our talents. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, you're talented. Yeah, you got to say it like that. You're talented. Because you're all talented. You're gifted by God. You're gifted by God. But I want you to get this. God has given you a gift, and it's not for you. Wait, are you serious, Pastor? You mean God gave me a gift, and it's not for me? That's exactly right. So these people, Kevin, Carlin, and all our team, right? I love what they do. Don't you love what they do?
Yeah, I
stand every week. I have godly envy. We're going to say godly envy. I'm really jealous. Like, I wish I could sing like Kevin. I wish I had that hair, too, like Kevin. I would have that stuff all fixed up. And I see them singing and playing, and, man, I just wish I could do that. And I probably can't do that because if I could, I would be so conceited. I mean, look what I could do, you know? But listen, they don't have those things for them. They have those things for him. And you are blessed by them, amen? Every gift we have, regardless of what it is, we have for somebody else. We're gifted to be a gift. The third area is our treasure. Again, back to the tithing thing. You're given treasure to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing, amen? We'll move on from that one real quick. The last area is not one that people talk about a lot. Not a lot of pastors talk about it. But it's an area, I believe, that we need to steward well. And it's the Bible refers to it as our tent. How many of you have a tent? All of you should raise your hand because you're living in one. The Bible refers to our bodies as a tent. The Bible also refers to your body in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 this way. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Look at the last words of that. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I believe that this calls us to be good managers, good stewards of the body that we've been given. Without answering me directly, I want you to think about, how are you taking care of the temple, the tent, the housing place for the Holy Spirit? God's Spirit on the earth lives in you and I, and how are we taking care of it? Are we feeding it junk food? Yes, most of the time, but he likes it. At least I do. Here's how are we honoring God with our bodies? What's mine? I can do what I want with it. I don't know about that. Read that again. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Jesus paid the price so he could take up residence in you. Are we providing him a nice place to live, or is it a shack? A little lean-to. You're the only one that can answer that question. Number five, the makings of a disciple. There are defenders of the faith. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Can you defend your faith? I'm going to tell you, probably 99% of Christians cannot adequately defend their faith. When you get that Saturday morning knock on the door, people are standing there with some literature. Do you go, shh, be quiet, let's pretend we're not here? That's what most of y'all do. Shh, be quiet. Turn the lights off. I open the door. Hey, what's up? Welcome. Yeah. Can we talk to you about Jesus? Absolutely. Can I tell you about my Jesus? Because my Jesus and your Jesus, way different. Your Jesus was just a dude. My Jesus is the Son of God. Yes. See, we got to be able to defend our faith. Because listen to me. There are religions all over the world, hundreds and hundreds of religions all over the world. They know what they believe. And listen to me. They are convinced that they're right and you're wrong. Can you refute that? Can you tell them the reasons that they're wrong and that you're right? Because I can. We, the body of Christ, if we're going to be these true disciples, we have to be able to defend our faith. Number six, we have to be able to love well. John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus speaking, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. They don't really care how much Bible you can quote. They don't really care that you got the coolest Christian tattoo. You got the biggest fish on the back of your car that money could buy. It won't even fit on the bumper. It's hanging off the bumper. You got a cool Christian t-shirt I just bought online. All good stuff, but none of it will really speak to the people around this world who need what you have. That is the love, the agape, unconditional love of God that this world, you heard what Shane and Mandy said? There are people that just need to hear of Jesus's love for them. Listen, church, the world around us needs to hear of Jesus's love for them. How are you going to tell them? We have to learn to love well. Number seven, we must live a life of integrity. 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Hypocrisy has been the biggest argument to people not wanting to be part of the church for centuries. Well, there's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites in church. And as I always say, and there's always room for one more. Come on in. We got another seat for you too. But you know what the world doesn't want? The world doesn't want fakes and phonies. They're not looking for perfection. What they're looking for is authenticity. And if we, the church, would just be real and authentic, and at the same time be people of integrity. If you say yes, then let it be yes. If you say no, then let it be no. Let's not be mixed up ourselves. Let's decide who we're going to be and just be it. Number eight, last but not least, the makings of a true disciple, they are communal. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42 happens right after Acts chapter 2, verse 41. I'm a scholar. I had to go to school to learn that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says about 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus on the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the church age begins. And this is what it says of those 3,000 people. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. These new disciples of Christ were sold out for being discipled and living communally, living together, doing life with one another, because they realized the value of being together with other believers. I want you to understand, church, if the only time you're with other believers is on a Sunday, you're not around believers enough. We are created to do life together. Why? Because we mutually edify one another, we encourage one another, we build each other up. And we don't do that when we're apart. We do it together, which is why, let me get back to the connect group thing, which is why we're imploring you, inviting you, asking you, begging you, whatever we have to do, get involved in a connect group. Blank stares. You should be where I'm at. We're created to do life together, which is why at New Beginnings we have events that happen throughout the year periodically. And those events are created to bring the body together. We want to create environments where you begin to not just go to church with them, but you begin to like them and like to be around them. You're not always going to agree with one another. We're not always going to see eye to eye, because we're all different. Hey, any married people in the house? You guys agree 100% of the time in your house? Your husband and wife? No, absolutely not. My wife is wrong most of the time. She's not sitting here, I can say that. Y'all don't go say nothing either. I mean, your husband just said you wrong most of the time. That's what's going to happen. She's like, what did you say about me? Because people just come talking to me. Right? It's not right. Don't tell him, don't do it. As believers, we're created to do life together. The eight traits that make us a true disciple: we're missional, biblical, spiritually disciplined, good stewards, defenders of the faith, we love well, we live a life of integrity, and we're communal. Would you stand with me? This is how we're going to end our service today. If you did not receive a communion little pack, would you just raise your hand? I'll make sure our ushers get one to you. There's a few over here on the left, a few over here on the right. In the back, Will, look back there. If you would open the cellophane on top and take out that little wafer, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. Now I want you to understand, when we proclaim the death of Jesus Christ, simultaneously we are proclaiming his life. He didn't just die. He died, was buried, and rose on the third day. We believe that. That's the basis and foundation of our faith. And so when we take communion, we're reminding ourselves of this truth that we build our lives upon. The body of Christ, this wafer that we are referring to as the body. Bible says in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, surely he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And here it is. By his stripes, we are healed. Now I want you to know, the body of Jesus was beaten and bruised so that you and I could be healed emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Today, Jesus, we receive your broken body and all of its benefits. We love you and give you praise and thanksgiving that we're healed completely in Jesus' name. We can never forget about the blood. The Bible says of the blood, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, the gift of God. The blood poured out for you and I, the redemption, the full and complete payment for our sins. When Jesus spilled his perfect, sinless, spotless blood, it was so perfect and so sinless and so spotless, not another drop had to be spilled for your sins to be atoned for once and for all. Today, Jesus, we thank you for your blood. By the blood of Jesus, our sins, according to your word, are removed so far as the east is from the west. God, your word says you choose to remember them no more. And we're thankful that we get to live in that and have that as part of our lives today. God, let not one of us leave this place not remembering the sacrifice that you paid on the cross of Calvary. We receive your blood today and all of its benefits in Jesus' name. Now, God, as we prepare to go, my prayer for the people of God is that, God, we will live our lives as these true disciples, missional, biblical, spiritually disciplined, good stewards, defenders of our faith, loving well, living lives of integrity, and being communal. God, let us be all that you've called and created us to be as we live for you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.